Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and happy Father's Day, everybody. If you guys want to call in, 323-870-3857. All right, let's get down with it, man. Let's get started with this showtime. Tim Zhu versus Carlos Ocampo. 12 rounds for Zhu's WBO interim junior middleweight title. Zhu needed just 77 seconds. He annihilated Carlos Ocampo, man. He beat the snot out of this kid, man. Zhu, I'm going to tell you right now, Zhu is getting better and better every time we see him. I don't know if he beats Charlo or not. I don't know if we're going to find out. I don't know that that fight is going to happen. But I tell you what, he's looking more and more. Every time we see this guy, he looks more and more like the real deal, man. He's got the power, and that's the thing I like about him. When he gets you hurt, he doesn't let you off the hook. He had, in the first 30 seconds, he crushed Ocampo with that right hand. That right hand came out of nowhere, and it hit him flush on the chin, flush on the side of his face. And you know what? I got a feeling Ocampo saw it coming, and there was nothing he could do about it. Because it just buzzed him. And from that point on, he never recovered. And Zhu, you know what, Zhu, didn't let him off the hook either. He just completely swarmed him. It was over with. B, give me your thoughts on the fight, and let's talk about the Charlo situation.
He definitely went in there looking to make a statement, looking to do what Errol Spence did in a similar fashion and try to even do it better, which you can argue that he did. Very similar performances. Thing with Zhu is he's like a sniper. He just places those shots perfectly. He knows how to set those shots up. He's very cerebral. He can hurt you with anything he throws. Whatever punch he throws, he's got a good right hand, a good left hook, throws those short uppercuts on the inside, and opens up those hooks upstairs. He is just a very, very well-schooled fighter. B-Style and I, we've said this before, it's very rare that you see a situation where a son can outshine the father. Now, obviously, he hasn't done it yet in the accomplishments department, but looking at him fight, he just seems to be a lot more versatile than his dad was. But it, yeah. And even with even saying that, his dad was a phenomenal fighter. But this guy is just a little bit more versatile. He can fight better up close than his dad did. His dad was more of a mid-range guy, very right hand heavy. This guy just can beat you everywhere.
And he's got
can
power.
Really beat you everywhere.
He's got power in both hands. I mean, that's the other thing too. He can knock you out with either hand. He's that kind of guy. And I think what you said just a few minutes ago about him being a sniper is a perfect characterization of this guy.
Yeah, the way he places those shots. He threads the needle, and sometimes too, the guy will have the guard up, and he throws with such force that he'll bust right through the guard. This guy is just a very strong, powerful guy. And you asked a question, I don't know, or you made a statement, I should say, I don't know if he beats Jermell. I think he does. I would pick him over Jermell.
Yeah,
I really would.
It's a tough one, man, but I tell you, he's got all the looks. You know, he got that dog bite. I know you were showing me that he had a dog bite 3 weeks beforehand. That thing looked nasty. Looked nasty. And listen, I don't know what kind of, quote-unquote injury Charlo's got, but listen, man, 3 weeks before the fight and he gets an injury like that, and that's a bad dog bite. That was horrible. But, yeah, man, I'll tell you what. I think that Zhu could be the next guy in that 154-pound division. He's got his dad's power, and he's also got his dad's finishing ability. When Costa got you hurt, he got you out of there. Tim does the same thing, same exact thing. He gets you out of there. He doesn't let you hang around. He doesn't give you a breather. You're going out, you know. So
what a finisher. It's phenomenal.
Oh,
finisher.
Insane, right? Yeah. So let's talk about this. I don't know that this fight actually happens. This Charlo fight. Tim Tszyu is the mandatory. We got some news about the other Charlo we'll talk about in a little while, but I think you and I are both thinking the same thing. We think that Charlo moves up. He doesn't fight Tszyu. That's what we're thinking, is that Charlo moves up to 160, and he does not want to fight Tszyu at all. And you know what?
Yeah,
I don't blame him.
Yeah. And he's been complaining about being undisputed, having to pay the sanctioning fees. Then he's made statements like, I've already fought everyone that I need to fight at this weight class. You know, it was really kind of downplay Tim Tszyu. And again, it's his choice to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for months. I have a feeling he's going to move up to 160 and challenge Carlos Adames for the WBC title. Right now, he's the interim champion, but I have a feeling he'll be elevated to the main champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when the other brother goes up to 168, then we all kind of have an inkling on what's going to happen there, but we'll talk about that later, as you said.
You remember how wrestling used to be back in the day, where everybody who stepped in the ring had a title? This is the TV title. This is the national championship. This is the U.S. title. This is the world title. This is the intercontinental title. Everybody who stepped in had a belt. That's what this reminds me of now.
Sure.
You have regular champion. Then you have interim champion. Why we need an interim champion, I have no idea. You know, it's like everybody has a belt. Just take it all back down, man. Not everybody needs a belt. Not every fight has to be a championship fight to get excited, to be exciting, to pique somebody's interest, nothing like that, you know? So, all right. On the undercard there, we had Sam Goodman versus Rais Aleem, 12 rounds, junior featherweights. Sam Goodman beats friend of the show Rais Aleem by split decision, 117-111, 116-112, and the other judge had it 116-112 for Aleem. Beeb. Rais Aleem seems to have a cap here. And we noticed that a couple fights ago, he won by a majority decision. That was a very, very, that was a tight fight he had. And when we see him against guys like Goodman and stuff like that, he should be winning these fights handily. And I know Goodman's undefeated, not to take anything away from him, but this is Rais Aleem, former champion. You know, we expect a little bit more from him than we do others. And it seems that the more we see him, the more there's a cap on who he can fight, what style he can fight, and how high his career is going to go. You saw him in here. Did you give him the fight?
I had Sam Goodman winning this fight, actually, handily. I had it 117 and 111. And what I saw here was Rais Aleem just really having a hard time getting his offense untracked here. I felt as though he did some good body work early on, but I just didn't think it was enough to stave off Goodman here. Goodman was really throwing a piston-like jab, constant jab in Aleem's. And Aleem was trying to be like the counterpuncher in this fight, because Goodman's not as usually as aggressive as he was last night. He was actually pushing Aleem back, knocking him off balance, and Aleem could really never get set. And like I said, occasionally
he would, you know what, that shouldn't happen.
No, because he's been highly touted, right? He's been known as the big puncher, one of the big punchers in this weight class, strong guy. He's more of a physical, offensive-minded guy, but in this fight, he was trying to be the counterpunch guy. He was trying to lay back and suck Goodman in, but Goodman just kept pushing him back, knocking him off balance. And he couldn't get set for those counters. He wasn't able to time those counters because that jab was steady in his face. Goodman was throwing a beautiful left hook off that jab as well. And I think he just caught Aleem off guard. He didn't expect Goodman to come out as aggressively as he did, be as strong as he was. And that left hook was starting to get Rais Aleem's attention. And it was hurting him, knocking him back. And it was making him think twice in this fight. Trying to you know, go blow for blow here. So he was a little bit hesitant, I felt, as the fight wore on. And particularly in the second half, it felt like he was just being walked down and pushed back. And he had no answers for Goodman. Goodman was just a bigger, stronger guy who was getting off first and getting off often. He was just out. You know, the punch stats were puzzling to me because the first half of the fight, they had Ali, you know, Aleem throwing and landing more punches. It's funny when you watch a fight, you just don't, and those punch stats just don't align to what you're seeing. Because that just didn't seem like the case to me in the fight. I mean, he did have some activity early in the fight, but I didn't think it was to the extent that these punch stat numbers reflected. But what we can say definitively is in the second half of this fight, he was clearly being outworked. I think Steve Farwood gave Goodman the last seven rounds. I gave him six of the last seven rounds. So, yeah, I just think that this was a very one-sided fight. I know one judge had it for Aleem. I didn't see it that way. Steve Farhan had it close, too. I just didn't think it was close.
Yeah.
I didn't see it that way. Maybe it's just me. But, again, those first six rounds, they were kind of nipping. They were kind of like nip-and-tuck action. You know what it was like in the Haney-Lomachenko fight, those first six rounds, not a lot of action, but you could just see, or at least in my opinion, one guy was the ring general.
Yes.
And I was looking at Goodman as being the ring general because he was the guy pushing Aleem back, forcing the fight, and he was landing his jab, and his jab was really dictating the pace of this fight, offsetting what Aleem was trying to do. That jab was not just being used to set up shots. It was being used as a preemptive measure from not allowing Aleem to get going and get into a rhythm and get his timing down, right?
Yeah.
So it was a very good strategic fight from Goodman, and Aleem just could not adapt and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, got worse for him as the fight wore on.
You know, and for Aleem, I know, has an unorthodox style. He's got his martial arts background. I know he was very good in martial arts, and he kind of takes that and like a hybrid of boxing and martial arts. But I think that can work against you sometimes. I think it helps to know, you know what I mean? It's one thing when you have an unorthodox style like that, but, you know, I think sometimes it just works against him. And I don't know, like, when you watch a guy like this, is this his ceiling? You know, he's got X amount of pro fights now. He's been fighting fighting like this for a long time. You know, and I know he's been boxing like this through his career. Is there a cap on where he goes from here?
Yeah, maybe he's just mid-level top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not a top five guy.
Because after seeing him in those last couple of fights, but the fight before last, where he got that majority decision, that one and, you know, this one, these aren't supposed to be close fights for him, you know?
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, I had talked about him and Fulton. I thought he should have been favored over Fulton, but now that I look at it now, there's no way he's beating Fulton. No way.
Yeah, Fulton has gotten better.
He's too slick.
Yeah. Fulton's gotten better.
Right.
Yeah, he's gotten better and he's progressed and it kind of went the other way for Aleem. To be fair.
There you go. D-Style Boxing, thank you so much, brother. He says, my Goodman Aleem film study was on point.
That's kind of an inside joke.
Well, great. Now nobody gets it, so let us in on the
Well, because I'm going to put someone on blast, but I won't mention him by
Why
name.
Why not?
There's
Are
a
you
guy.
Put Carol on blast again?
Never. There's a guy that every time he gets a pick right, he goes, you should have seen this coming, man. All you had to do was just look at the film study. And
who is this?
I can't mention his
Come
name.
Come on. Everybody knows now. You don't mention
but,
it. You might as well tell us his name.
But it's hilarious, though. Like, and because if you looked at Teofimo, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And just be honest. When Teofimo Lopez beat Vasily Lomachenko, right? Did you feel as though he fought Vasily Lomachenko the same way he fought Josh Taylor or the two different styles employed by Teofimo Lopez?
I think there was two different styles, and I think you had to because they were two different people.
Sure. So
two different
he
fighters.
Was more he was more of a counterpuncher against Josh Taylor.
Yes.
Whereas with Lomachenko, he was boxing well, getting his jab off, beating Lomachenko from the outside,
yes,
getting his jab off first.
Yeah.
So the inside joke to this was, if you did watch the film study, you would see two different styles being implemented in two different fights. So just because you watch someone fight doesn't mean he's going to fight the same way each and every time out. It all styles make fights. It depends on the opponent. So this person was like, oh, because you know how, and in fairness, this person did pick Teofimo Lopez to beat Josh Taylor, so we're not going to say he's my name on a quarterback yet.
Right.
But he made a statement like it was just an afterthought that it's so easy to figure out that Tio was going to win this fight. Well, apparently a lot of people didn't get the memo, because if everyone bet Tio, then Vegas, like I tell everyone, you're going to be wrong 50% of the time. And if you weren't wrong 50% of the time, then Vegas would be out of business by now.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Vegas is making billions of dollars a year, and we all have 9-to-5 jobs, most of us.
Everybody's got the good action, you know. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everyone, oh, you get all your predictions wrong. Like everybody gets predictions wrong.
Everybody.
If you make, that is not an indicator of how much you know about the sport. An indicator of how much you know about the sport is if you can articulate yourself and explain your points when you're describing things in regards to boxing. If you can make arguments and you can break down a fight and you can actually say something where someone says, oh, wow, really? I understand what you're talking about. I see that now that you mention it. Those are thought-provoking points that people make who know about the sport. You don't measure someone's knowledge about how many picks they get right. We're basically just guessing here.
Right. You got a 50-50 shot, you know.
The 50-50 shot.
Was it Dwyer?
It was not Dwyer. I'll tell you after the show.
It was Dwyer?
It was not Dwyer.
Why are you messing with Dwyer, man?
That's on the life of my unborn kids, it was not Dwyer.
Your unborn kids?
Got the sperm tested. I can still pop it.
Hey, guys, if you're out there, make sure to like and subscribe. You know, we're not asking for any money or anything like that. Just like it. Just like the video. That's it. And I'm asking you, work in a coal mine, baby. Come on. Hit the like button. It doesn't cost anything. All right, guys. DAZN. Regis Prograis versus Danielito Zoria. The WBC junior welterweight title. Prograis retains his WBC title, but WBC title by split decision over Daniel Zorrilla, 118-109, 114-113 for Zorrilla, and 117-110 for Prograis. So Prograis had 118-109, 117-110 for Prograis, 114-113 for Zorrilla. I got to be honest, man, I didn't think this fight was that close. I know some people like Sergio Mora had Zorrilla winning the fight. Guys, I didn't see it. I didn't even think this fight was close, man. I thought Prograis won round after round here. I gave Zorrilla the second, maybe the sixth. I had it 118-109. I'm not sure what the controversy here was. I mean, everybody was saying, oh, I heard it was razor close. Son, this wasn't razor close at all, man.
Yeah, I had it 115-112 for Prograis, but I could see it being wide because there were some swing rounds that I did give Zorrilla here, but Regis did not look good in this fight. He had a hard time gauging his distance and range. He was missing his way off with his jab. He was trying to throw his jab from too far out, and he just wasn't able to gauge it. And obviously, you know, we're on the outside looking in, and we're saying to ourselves, why can't he gauge the range here? Why is he having so much problems tracking Zorrilla down? Obviously, we're not in there, so we're not able to see how fast this guy is. But from the outside looking in, it didn't really look like Zorrilla was doing a lot of anything that was special to me. It didn't look like he was overly sophisticated with anything he did. With all due respect, I just didn't see it. He was kind of just moving and probing from the outside, circling.
That's it.
And really not doing much. And obviously, he was trying to steal rounds. Had a decent, decent left hook on occasion, but it just wasn't sustaining any type of offense here. It was just really very, very low output. And Regis was trying to make the fight. He just wasn't able to, land these punches that he wanted to. He was just so out of position and out of range a lot of times here. And it was surprising. Now, you have to ask yourself, is Zorrilla really this good, or was Regis just off? Who knows? You know, and in fairness, too, you know, we were all dumping on Tio for his performance against Sandor Martin. We were critical of that.
Yeah.
But I thought that there was a pattern of behavior with Tio. Like, as soon as he moved up to 140, he didn't look really great. And then, you know, after that Martin fight, we saw what happened in the Taylor fight. So should we put too much stock into this performance with Prograis, or should we give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens next? Obviously, like I said, this was not a great night for him, in my opinion. I had it not close, but I had it more competitive than I thought it should have been, right? Mm-hmm. I had him having more problems than I thought he would have, right? But with that being said, am I ready to kind of like just throw this guy to the wolves and do the old Pauly, I can't have nothing to do with you anymore? Like Pauly and Goodfellas with Henry? I'm not ready to do that.
You were going to rob him. You were going to send him out to pasture, boy. Said he had to find something else to do. Oh, that's cold.
Can't do that. I can't do that to him. But I see a lot of people jumping off this Regis Prograis bag and Prograis. I always call him Prograis.
I do.
Someone corrected me in the chat, and they're correct. I do pronounce his name wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize to Prograis, whatever. Regis Prograis. Yeah, a lot of people this morning are just really throwing this guy in the trash.
Yeah.
Hearing the old, this guy is overrated. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people now are, whether they're managers or promoters, that phone must be ringing off the hook to Matchroom Sport this morning.
Yeah.
I bet you everyone wants a fighter now. And I kind of think that Haney fight will probably get made next.
D-Style Boxing, thank you so much. He said that was Regis Prograis. All his shots were grazing at best. There you go. Reese Max said he thought he thought Regis lost this one. I don't know. I didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way. But
no.
Whatever.
But it wasn't like a barn burner of a fight either.
No, it was not.
The fight was like, you know, yeah.
It was not a barn burner.
Not much there. What do we got next week? All right, we got a few next week. All right, let's talk about the fights coming up next week. Let's see here. June 24th. I believe that's Saturday, isn't it? There's a card on ESPN Plus.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, there's a card on ESPN Plus. It's from Germany. The only name on here I recognize was Vincent Feigenbuch. That's it, and his TBA. So you guys can go watch that if you want. That's in ESPN Plus. June 24th in Tokyo, Joshua Franco versus Kaz Ioka, 12 rounds for Franco's WBA junior bantamweight title. That'll be interesting. 24th, Showtime. Carlos Adames versus Julian J. Rock Williams for Adames' WBC interim middleweight title. And that's what you were saying, B. If he wins that fight, he's going to be elevated to the full champ, you think?
No, what I do think is once the bigger Charlo moves up to 168,
then they'll
elevate Adames, and then Jermell will slide right in my opinion, for the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Erickson Lubin versus Luis Arias on that undercard, 10 rounds, junior middleweights. Fernando Martinez versus Jade Bornea, 12 rounds for Martinez' IBF junior bantamweight title. That's all on Showtime. And then that same night from New York on DAZN, Edgar Belanga versus Jason Quigley, 10 rounds super middleweights. Adam Konofsky versus Joe Cusumano, 10 rounds heavyweights. And that's about it. Let's see here. Then don't forget, July 1st, the heavyweight champion of the world, the uncrowned heavyweight champion of the world, makes his homecoming back, Toledo, Ohio. Jared Big Baby Anderson will be in Toledo, Ohio, July 1st. And he's going to bring the belts with him because he is the uncrowned champ, Beep. Now, listen, Beep, listen, I know I've told this story before. The people in the know that I've heard from, the people in the know, you remember when Tyson Fury canceled that Deontay Wilder fight? Remember that? Because he got knocked out in training by Jared Big Baby Anderson, who was his sparring partner. Just saying, that's the rumor going around. That's the rumor. That is the rumor. Wow. D-Style, thank you so much. He says, Progarius Spence. What is Progarius? Yeah, Progarius Spence.
That's how Spence pronounces it. Regis Prograis. That's how he said it.
Big Baby Anderson, undisputed. He might as well be. He's the best heavyweight out there right now. Beeb, you think that Jared Anderson runs through Tyson Fury as well?
Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight of all time.
I agree. I agree with you. And so I agree. He's the best heavyweight of all time. And to watch Jared Big Baby Anderson just roll through him like nothing is going to be amazing. He's the uncrowned champion, right? You believe that, don't you?
I believe it, too,
because he's from Ohio. That's right. That's how we do it here. All or nothing over here, Daddy. All or nothing. Speaking of all or nothing, bring him on, Ringside Robert.
Hello, guys. Word. Happy Father's Day, Eric.
Hi, Robert.
Thank you so much, Robert. Happy Father's Day to you, too.
That's right.
I don't get one, Robbie.
Huh?
I don't get one.
You don't have any kids, Joe?
How do you know?
I don't know.
I don't get one, Robbie.
What can I tell you, Joe?
Thanks, Robbie. Thanks for that swipe.
Hey, go ahead. You know what? I think Reed has had a bad night. I don't think people should write him off. Because remember, the guy that he fought last night was a substitute. He was supposed to fight the guy from Australia, Perro, I believe it is. And, of course, that's a different kind of style than Zaria presented last night. So I'm going to give him a pass.
There you go.
So how do you think he matches up with a potential Devin Haney match?
You know what? I'm looking forward to that. But early prediction here right now, if the fight was to take place right now, I would favor Devin Haney because of Haney's taller, he's longer, and one thing Regis showed last night, Zaria was taller and longer, and Regis had difficulty getting on the inside to do his best work. And with Haney being a much better boxer and being able to move a lot better, he's going to have some problems with that.
Yeah, I think Haney beats Regis. I think Haney beats Regis. I think he's a little bit better.
I think I would feel comfortable picking Haney over that version of Regis that I saw last night. Because Devin Haney is an excellent outside fighter. He's quick on his feet, can move very well. He knows how to really gauge distance and space. And he actually fought pretty good on the inside against Lomachenko, better than I expected. So him showing that extra wrinkle to his game makes me think that, this could be a tough fight for Regis, and I think I would pick Devin Haney as well.
Yep. No. If I had to pick that now, that's the way I would go. But as far as Tim Tszyu is concerned, you guys, I totally agree with you. I think Charlo will move up as fast as he possibly can. He doesn't want any part of that. He doesn't want to deal with any of that, you know.
That's rough.
And I think that's unfair for Tim Tszyu because he's earned the right to actually prove that, you know, he's the best in the division. And right now, the way he looks, he is the best in the division. So.
Well, he will. He just won't do it against Charlo.
Right.
You know? But that's the way it is. I mean, he's not going to – Charlo's – I really don't believe Charlo's going to fight him. I don't think he has any intention on fighting him either. I really don't.
If you remember when he fought Harrison 3 months ago, Charlo was in the studio and he said, he looks too easy to beat. There's nothing really exciting for me there. I think he's going to do whatever he can to avoid fighting him.
He's not fighting him. I really believe that he's not fighting that guy. That's a dangerous fight for him, and they don't really want him in dangerous fights.
Nope. They want no part of that. But it's kind of unfair for Tszyu because I think Tszyu has earned a big fight. But unfortunately, the guy that has all the belts wants no part of him, and he's going to leave, and then that division will be fractured, and Zoo's going to have to beat multiple people to prove that he's the superior guy in that division. And right now, he looks like he is.
Well, unless he got those belts, You know?
I mean, he could have got them all in one night, but now if Charlo vacates them all, he's going to have to do it piece by piece.
Yep.
That's right. And that kind of sucks for him, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, guys, that's all I got for this week. Have a good one.
Yeah, there's not much going on this week.
Yeah, not much at all, man.
No,
not much.
No, not a whole lot.
So, all right, Robert, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Robert. What time he fixed it?
I agree. You deserve that. All right. There's a couple of news and rumors here. Let's talk about this one because this was a real crazy one here. Golden Boy and Ryan Garcia added again. Oscar De La Hoya, this is from ESPN, Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions filed a lawsuit against Ryan Garcia and his attorney and advisor, Guadalupe Valencia, in the U.S. District Court of Nevada to enforce its contract with the star boxer. The suit comes 1 week after Garcia's legal team sent Golden Boy Promotions a demand letter alleging violations of the promotional agreement as well as California and federal law that invalidate the contract. So let me understand this. So your answer, Ryan Garcia sends you this thing and says, hey, you know, we think you violated some contract, is to just what? To do a countersuit? Not sit down and talk with this fighter, not try to clear the air, not try to get this thing done and get this thing, you know, let's get this thing behind us. Listen, promoters, they always have issues. Promoters and fighters always have issues. I get that. But the thing is, like, he takes, you know, like, he puts it out on social media. Like, it's one thing if Ryan Garcia goes out on social media. It's one thing if De La Hoya then counters it on social media. You know, I never see, you know who I never see on social media? Bob Arum, Al Heyman. Never see any one of those guys out on social media. And there's been people that came out and spoke against Al Heyman and this and that. And Al Heyman, nobody ever responded because they run it like a business over there. And that's how it should be, professionally done. You know, they come out against Bob Arum all the time. Bob Arum never goes on social media with it. He doesn't. It just doesn't. That's the way it is. De La Hoya could not hang on to Canelo Alvarez. Beeb, he got him the biggest contract you could ever possibly want, and he still couldn't hang on to that guy. That lets you know what De La Hoya is, what you're dealing with when you get De La Hoya. This too, that article, there's an article on ESPN that says also that he told Ryan Garcia that the fight with Tank couldn't be made unless it was on DAZN. Which was complete nonsense.
Yeah. I guess his contract said that for pay-per-view fights, he could fight anywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He said he could fight anywhere.
Anywhere.
So technically, that could have been an exclusive pay-per-view with Showtime. And I think what exasperated this whole situation for Ryan Garcia was all of the craziness that went on DAZN where the people were having issues, you know, with the pay-per-view. Right? Imagine if this was just exclusively on Showtime and there was no issues where people had to buy the pay-per-view twice, three times, whatever. Some people just hung it up and I would assume just ended up streaming it because they tried to buy the pay-per-view on DAZN. So, like, how many pay-per-views did they lose because of that mishap with DAZN? We don't know, right? And I don't want to make this a DAZN versus Showtime thing, but, like, a lot of these people who are kind of Eddie Hearn fans and they have this guilty by association with Showtime against the PBC because they hate the PBC. If we're being objective here, and I don't want to take this to another direction, but, I mean, Showtime has been doing pay-per-views for 37 years. DAZN's only been doing it for a year. You know, Showtime's been doing boxing for 37 years. DAZN's only been doing it for since 2000, what,
yeah.
18 or whatever, not like 5 years.
Yeah.
So, again, like, if you want to do a big-time event like this, I think Showtime's probably more qualified to do it, right? But the big problem with Oscar and Golden Boy is this. They're not transparent with their fighters.
They're not.
And this
has happened with Ryan Garcia now, and it's happened with Canelo.
And I guess a contract cannot exceed 7 years in California? If I'm not mistaken, if I read that right in this article, I don't know. I'd have to do a little bit more research on that. But I guess that's one of the issues and the whole thing with the pay-per-view. And Yeah, like the zone doesn't really have this hardline rule about, you know, fighters are exclusive to us. Even Matchroom, like Eddie Hearn doesn't have, like Canelo went over to PBC and then he came back to the zone. You know, Joshua went to Sky, came back to the zone. Like there's no hardline rule where Eddie Hearn has to have exclusivity with the zone for all these fighters and all these fights. Now, I'm sure that in the contract that he has with the zone, he has to deliver them a specific amount of fights a year. But does that mean that every fight has to be there? From my understanding, no. So I just think De La Hoya kind of misled Ryan here. And I do have a feeling that this may not end well for Oscar. Just like we forecasted the whole Canelo situation, we said that Canelo is not going to have to stay with Golden Boy. He's going to be able to get his way out of there, and he was out of there. He was out of there. So
that's the thing, man. I tell you what, he's lost. I mean, if you're a young fighter coming up, or if you're an established fighter, I would really take a look at Golden Boy and say, look, they couldn't keep Canelo Alvarez, they couldn't keep Ryan Garcia, two guys that they should have been able to keep. No question.
That's the franchise right there, no?
The franchise guys now gone. Who do they have over there? Who do they got? Aside Jaime Munguia, was it
Virgil Ortiz?
Virgil Ortiz.
I don't know, Blair Cobbs. Robbie made another good point. Like Sunisa Estrada was their best she was one of the best female boxers, is one of the
Stop
best
it.
Female boxers in boxing right now.
Stop it.
She left Golden Boy and went to Top Rank.
Why you got to bring that even out? I mean, come on. Nobody watches. Nobody watches it, son. Does she have an OnlyFans? I don't know. I'm asking questions.
You cannot
say
that.
It's
you are crossing the line,
baby. I can say whatever I want. So I'm living now.
God, you're killing me.
The legend, Blair the Flair Cobbs. I love Blair the Flair. He's the best. Yeah, what is it with De La Hoya? He just can't get out of his own way. I don't understand why he thinks he has to, you know, do this stuff underhanded. I don't understand it. He can't get out of his own way, man. He's the worst.
Yeah, that's true.
So what do you think? What do you think ultimately happens here? You think Garcia gets out of this?
I think he may be able to get out of this. There's a lot of rumors circulating around, and I don't know how true they are. So I'm just saying they're rumors. So don't say, Beef said this. Beef, you're lying. It's just what I heard. Heard he wants to go to PBC.
Really? Well, but you know what? I'll tell you what. And you know what? I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Because, look, man, they by Garcia's own admission, they treated him better after the fight than his own team did. Nobody was there except his family. That's it. What is his mom and dad? And that was it. Those were the only people there from his team. Goosen, I don't think, was there. De La Hoya, Hopkins, nobody was there. Because, no. You know, De La Hoya said he got death threats. Shut up.
Fucking security. There's security up the ass, bro. I mean, come on.
Right. Give me a break, man. He's an idiot, you know? And so you do this to your guy, and then you want him to, you know, be all warm and cozy with you. He also said this week he put out, like, some kind of tweet or some kind of video. I don't know what it was. And he said, Adrian Broner, if he wants to make some more money for his next fight, come on over here. We can fix it. And so I'm assuming the only thing he could have is Ryan Garcia. Fit, right? I mean, that's the only thing he's going to, you know. So.
And then he's taking shots at Eddie Hearn. What did Eddie Hearn ever do
what
to Golden Boy?
Like, have to do with any of this?
They're both on the same platform. Like, what is the benefit of taking shots at Eddie Hearn?
Right. This moron, he ought to be loving Eddie Hearn. You know what I mean?
You know.
They ought to be bringing peace together. You know what I mean? And some kind of, like, camaraderie here because you're on the same channel. And his channel is not, you know, to me, I've unsubscribed from the zone. I'm not buying that nonsense.
Oh, you're not subscribed anymore.
I am unsubscribed from the zone. I am not buying
that
nonsense.
People, a lot of people got rid of it, yeah.
You know what? What am I going to pay? $80 a month for what? Edgar Berlanga?
I'm going to tell you something.
Edgar Berlanga next week? Stop.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something about the zone offline that I can't tell you on air, but it's funny. But I got a lot of juicy stuff that I can't really reveal to you.
I
can't reveal to you.
You know.
But you will get the info. Just these people can't get it. Right
you
now.
Know that we do a show every Sunday.
That's correct.
At 6 o'clock where we give out, news in the room.
You know I have meetings with the legal team. I have weekly meetings with the legal team, and I have to run by some of these things that I can say and can't say.
I had a letter from the legal team a couple of weeks ago. I feel like I'm getting pigeonholed here, Beeb. I might need a new contract.
Well, I mean, I get cease and desist letters weekly. Legal team's always showing them to me, and I have to really dot my I's and cross my T's there, man. I'm just being honest. I'm being honest.
All right, but let's talk about some happy news here. Canelo Alvarez versus Jermall Charlo, according to Mike Coppinger, my man Mike.
Coppinger.
Who is never wrong, Beeb. Who predicted the Spence and Crawford fight? Who said that was happening?
Oh, God.
Is it happening? I don't know. I can't. Can you do me a favor, Beeb? Can you pull up ESPN, the schedule, and look and see if that fight's on the schedule or maybe BoxRec or wherever it is we find schedules? Can you look and see, is Crawford and Spence, is that going to happen? Who said that was going to happen?
Yes.
Who said it?
Mr. Coppinger.
He is your daddy today. Coppinger is your daddy today. After
everyone else and their brother said it, he chimed in. He did chime in and say it was happening. You're right.
According to Mike Coppinger, who is never wrong, daddy, Canelo met with Al Haymon this week and discussed the possibility of Jermall Charlo in the fall. Another option would be Badu Jack. However, that has been dismissed by Badu Jack. Beeb, tell him what he wanted.
From what Badu Jack said, and I know Amir Abdallah was also talking about this, that there was going to be a catch weight. Abdallah said 185, but then I think Badu Jack said they wanted him to go all the way down to 180. And they wanted a rehydration.
That's what
clause.
He said.
According to Body Jack
clause.
Yeah.
Body Jack's weighing about 200 pounds now. Like cruiserweight.
Yeah.
Right?
And then when Badu Jack steps into the ring, he's probably like 210, 215, right?
Yeah.
And he's being asked to come down to 180. I mean, why even present that? And now everyone's like, oh, well,
I'm looking on that they can try it. You know? I mean, like, really? Like, what are you doing?
Everyone's saying, that shit's crazy. Everyone's like talking. There's people talking shit about Jack right now, being like, he wanted to fight. He wasn't really the one that called out Canelo. Canelo was the one back, I think, like a year ago that was saying he wanted to fight Makabu.
He wants that cruiserweight. He wants that cruiserweight title.
That was Canelo's idea. Like, I want to make history, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. But I just want to point to this thing because I hear this narrative and this sentence being, mentioned over and over again. Oh, well, Canelo can do whatever he wants. Canelo can do whatever he wants. He most certainly can, but guess what? Not everyone has to go along with what Canelo wants. Because guess what? Badu Jack's not going along with it.
No.
Neither is Dmitry Bivol, right? So now we got Jermall Charlo now on deck. Let's see if this thing can get worked out.
It'll get worked out. That will get worked out. That's the fight that Charlo wanted. He's wanted that for a long time. There's no question in my mind. That goes to 168, and that gets worked out, and that gets worked out quick.
I hope you're right. I'm pretty confident.
The Benavidez fight, not so much.
I don't know.
I tell you, you can't tell me that Canelo's ducking anyone. Can't.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think
because he fights everybody. Charlo, that's it. Listen. Charlo's not a cakewalk here. That's not a cakewalk. Badu Jack wouldn't be a cakewalk.
Well, here's the thing. I know a lot of people are going to hammer home the inactivity, and that's fair. But Josh Taylor had a long inactivity. Spence is coming off almost a year. He's going to, what's it going to be, like a year and a half when he enters the ring?
Yeah.
So we've seen fighters go through this. Some are successful, some are not. So I don't think it's fair to use that as an excuse if Canelo wins this fight, because this was a fight that a lot of people have called for and wanted. This is the consolation prize. This has always been number two on that list.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if Canelo does win, this fight comes off, I think he should get full credit for it. So let's at least give him that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, that's the fight we all wanted. I mean, we wanted Charlo Canelo or Benavidez Canelo.
Yeah, you always liked that Charlo fight. You were always intrigued by that.
Benavidez, I mean, the Bivol fight, I don't want to see that fight again.
I never wanted that.
That was a one-sided fight.
I didn't want the Jack fight either. I thought that was ridiculous. If he was to move up to 200 pounds and fight that guy, he was going to get – I don't think he was going to win.
Jack's a good fighter, man. Badu,
Jack is
good,
a solid fighter,
Badu,
man.
He is solid as they come. Former Olympian, brother. Yeah, as solid
arguably,
as they get.
Arguably beat Adonis Stevenson, you know.
A couple of fanboys here. Dragging up a middleweight over Benavidez.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Jamal Charlo is actually bigger than Canelo Alvarez. So let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, I mean, but all right, what is this here? Hold on. Pocket says, I know Eric hates women's boxing. However, Eric needs to watch Ramla Ali versus Julissa Guzman, amazing fight. When was
this one? It actually ended in a knockout. It was a highlight reel knockout. You would have actually liked this one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. What's she look like? What do these two look like? What are these cupcakes?
Let's not do that. Please.
What? I can't know. I got to know so I can identify the fighter.
How am I going to identify
the fighter if I don't know what she looks like?
Full disclosure, I think they were both attractive women.
Nice. I'll be watching that face. What is the holdup, B, with why doesn't he want to fight Benavidez? And I don't want to hear because Benavidez is Mexican. Don't give me that nonsense.
Well, again, they did put the offer out there. It's been confirmed by Steven Espinosa. But, like, why would you take it off the table so quickly? Like, you didn't really give the guy enough time to respond to it. They're saying he didn't respond to it, but it was only, like, a week and a half that the offer was put out there. So then they took it off the table. So I don't know, man. It's just kind of – it's weird that they would put that offer out there, take it off the table so quickly, and then immediately after that announce a fight with David Morrell. Now that David Morrell fight's off the table, I guess, because now they're saying David Morrell's giving them issues trying to make that fight. So I honestly don't know what's going on over there. They got to relax.
Benavidez and his team has got to relax. That David Morrell fight, that's a good fight.
Yeah.
That is a good fight because David Morrell is a very good fighter.
Yeah, a lot of people are picking David Morrell to beat David Benavidez. I don't know, man.
I don't know about that, but I know that's a good fight. To me, that's a fight I want to see.
It's a tough fight.
Yeah.
So, but the whole thing of just, you know, putting out that offer and not really following through, because you know these big fights take a lot of time and effort to make. So you're not going to just say, oh, we sent them an offer, and then 10 days later take that offer off the table. Like, you have to be a little bit more diligent in trying to get this fight over the line.
Johnny Thunder calling you out, baby. He said, you're running with a false narrative. The fight was never taken off the table. He said it wasn't taken off the table. Nobody said that.
I hope you're right. But, you know, Samson said that the offer was rejected. So
Johnny Thunder
offer,
saying the offer is still on the table. Let me ask you a question, Johnny. How do you know this?
He doesn't, but he's hoping. He's a hope merchant. And that's great.
I forgot he was there when they.
You can be a hope merchant all you want. That's fine.
I forgot about that. That's
a hope merchant.
Listen,
he's what I like to call a hope merchant.
Johnny Thunder, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Johnny.
Happy Father's Day to all of you guys, by the way. Yeah, and that's about it, man. That's about it. Slow news week, slow fight week.
This is a slow week, man.
Yeah, right? What is going on here?
You
know what? I tell you what, though, Beeb. You know what I was thinking about? When I saw that Canelo could possibly fight Charlo, if that fight comes out, right, if that fight gets made, and say that Benavidez fight, maybe he does fight Morrell, maybe that comes in, and hopefully that gets worked out, right? Can you imagine? Give me a better year for boxing than we've had just 6 months into this year.
Yeah, we've had a great year.
Give me a better year.
If we cap it off with Wilder Joshua and Wilder Fury Usyk, then that's just the icing on the cake.
Who's Usyk's people now? Who's what was the name of them?
Skills Challenge.
Skills Challenge said they're going to try to put together a premium offer to get those two fights. This is unbelievable. Steve, we're 6 months in.
6 months in.
The greatest year. This is the greatest year in boxing history. Give me a better one.
I don't hate that Canelo Charlo fight whatsoever. I hope people don't shit on that fight because it's not a bad fight at all.
I'm telling you, man, I think this is the best year in boxing history ever. We get blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster. I mean, really. Has to be.
Yeah. That's true.
There you go.
Who do you like in that fight?
In which fight?
Canelo versus Charlo.
Canelo versus Charlo. I got to go with Canelo. I think he's been more active. I think he's seen more. I think he's got more ways to win. I really do. I think Canelo can outbox him. I think Canelo can knock him out. I think Canelo can drown him in the deep waters. There's a number of ways Canelo can win. To beat him, you'd have to box. You know, guys like Bivol and stuff like that, I just don't those guys, you know, Charlo's not going to be able to mimic that style. You know what I mean? He's not going to be able to mimic that style. So, you know, Jamal Moore says that Charlo is still looking mentally unstable. I don't know that.
Once again,
how are we supposed to know?
I'm mentally unstable. So how am I going to be able to judge whether someone else is mentally unstable?
The guy is a professional fighter. They're all mentally, you know what I mean? You got to have a screw loose to do this. You got to have a little bit of a screw loose, you know?
Yeah, you have to have some level of crazy to be a boxer.
Right.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Calm down. We used to get multiple blockbusters on one card, let alone in 1 year. Come on, son.
Yeah, that was back in the 90s, Tony P.
Tony, come on, baby.
Now you're showing your age, Tony.
You talking about the Revenge of the Rematches? Remember that one? The Don King? When there's four title fights on the card? Son, even that, even if you take those golden years right there, they still don't stack up to this one. I really believe that. We've had too many blockbusters. Not only that, too many other ways to watch fights. Fights from every organization, man. No. Tony's 55. All right, he's right there with us.
I'm 54.
I'm 49 still.
But I'm still
for
better.
For 10 more days, I'm 49.
I'm a lot better looking than Tony P, though.
Oh, that's messed up. Oh, come on. Why are you going to take a dump on it? It's Father's Day, and you just look at you. You just, what's wrong with you?
I'm not saying he's a bad-looking guy. But
come on, man.
I just walk a higher path than most.
Hey, Tony, you're a good-looking rascal. Don't let Beef tell you any different, all right? What's the matter?
I just walk a higher path than most.
You walk a higher path than most? What's the matter with you?
I'm on a higher stratosphere, baby.
2013 had stat cards with you. Which ones? Who was it? Who was 2013? Geez. How do you remember that?
That is still 10 years ago.
How do you remember that? What happened in 2013? Who was fighting in 2013?
Yeah, give me the resume.
Wiki Wright and Bronco McCart. Who was fighting in 2013?
Jesus Christ. We got to pull out the friggin'. What is this? Like, I just saw that movie, The Flashpoint Paradox, when he runs back and
is that the one where Batman's in it?
Say that one time?
Batman's in that one?
Yeah, Batman's in that. That movie's it got really bad reviews, but I liked it.
Didn't you like Thor: Love and Thunder too?
No, that was horrible.
You did, but you told me that it was good.
Don't slander me like that. That movie was horrible.
That movie was terrible.
That was the worst.
Come on.
That was the worst. That movie. No, I actually liked this movie. Really, I really liked that movie.
The first year PBC came to Showtime, even then, you know what? Even then, they were good.
It wasn't bad.
They
were
good.
Bad,
they weren't blockbusters, though. These were blockbusters, like, man.
Yeah, these are great
fights. T.O. and Josh Taylor was a blockbuster. I mean, those are big fights, man. The Flash. Yeah. Okay, so who won the race, The Flash or Superman? Did they? won the
that
race?
That wasn't even factored into the equation in this one.
I'm just asking questions. Who won the race?
I don't know. It was never determined.
Oh, they just – I thought they were going to race in that movie or something like that.
I'll be honest with you, though. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think the Flash could beat Superman in a race.
Superman. He's Superman. How do you beat him in a race? He's Superman. He's Superman.
When you have the speed force, you can tap into the speed force. It can be limitless at times.
Son, he's Superman.
Very inconsistent.
That's why, I tell you what, that's why I didn't understand that movie, Batman versus Superman, and apparently Batman beats him or something like that.
That just goes to show you.
It doesn't go to show me anything. It shows me that the movie's fake.
Here's the problem. Right. I'll explain the problem.
The movie's fake. We're talking about two superheroes.
I'll explain to you the problem with Superman. Superman is solar powered, right? He needs the sun for his energy and his powers. Couple cloudy days, forget about it. The Flash will destroy him in a race. But he won't be as fully solar powered.
Son, come on. Please.
You know they had a Superman versus Muhammad Ali comic book. You know what happened?
That's Robbie. If you go to his Facebook and stuff like that, that's like his avatar. He's got that. He's got that avatar.
Okay. You know how Muhammad Ali beat Superman?
No.
They took Superman to a planet with a red sun, without a yellow sun, where he can get his superpowers, and Muhammad Ali kicked the shit out of him.
Stop.
That just goes to show you, man. You take that sun. I don't want to be a spoiler here, but they put Supergirl, who's in this movie. They had Supergirl in a cell with red lights, that were kind of simulating the red sun, and she was incapacitated. She lost her powers. So I'm telling you.
Stop it. Stop it.
So I like the Silver Surfer. He's powered by the power cosmic, which is inevitable. Inevitable. Power cosmic is just existential. It never stops.
Yeah, you want to stop that bone head?
It's throughout the whole galaxy. Just like the Speed Force. The Speed Force can never go away.
So was Batman in this new movie, The Flash?
Yes.
I'm glad they got Michael Keaton back as Batman. I never did like what's-his-face, Ben Affleck as Batman.
Can I tell you something? Ben Affleck is my favorite Batman. I love him. He's jacked. He's, you know how jacked he is? He's tall.
I didn't think he was jacked.
No, he's jacked, man.
Henry Cavill, I thought, was jacked up.
Yeah, they're
Superman?
About equal.
Yeah.
They're about equal in jack level.
Remember Christopher Reeve as Superman?
No, I didn't like him that much.
You didn't like Christopher Reeve? Why, because he couldn't walk? That's messed up, man. Why would you even bring that up?
Don't disrespect.
You like totally brought that up, and that's why you don't like him. That's messed up.
He was a great actor, but I liked Henry Cavill better than him as Superman.
I like Henry Cavill. Yeah, I like him too. I like that one kid is Lex Luthor, who was remember
the new guy.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was good. Yeah, he's pretty good. I liked him better than I did Gene Hackman. I like Gene Hackman, but I like this guy better.
Like the other guy better, yeah.
Yeah.
But I would encourage everyone, go see The Flash. It was a great movie.
I'm going to check out. I'm waiting for the new Joker movie to drop, man.
Oh, is that coming out?
Yeah. Lady Gaga's in it and everything. She plays Harley Quinn.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Joaquin Phoenix is going to be back in it? Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
That's good. You like Joaquin Phoenix or Heath Ledger as a Joker?
Wow, that's tough.
I like them both, man. I like them both. I think that Joaquin played a better Joker. I think, like, you know, because that made more sense to me, how he just came together like that. Him in that one movie, the Batman movie where he's with the gangs and everything like that? Man, I thought Heath Ledger was bad, boy.
Yeah.
That's the one where he won the Oscar for it or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with Joaquin Ledger. I'll go with Joaquin.
Yeah.
Weesmack said
they filmed The Joker 2 in the Bronx a few months ago. So hopefully it comes out, man. Yeah, the first one was awesome. That first Joker film was awesome. That was a good one because, like, you didn't even have to be a fan of Batman or the Joker or anything like that. It could have just been a regular movie you're going to see.
Yeah.
And that was the best part about it. You know what I mean? I thought that was good.
I agree.
Some Rondo said Beavis would play a good Joker. I don't believe that. I don't think you play a good Joker. You're more of a superhero guy. You're more of an action guy. I'm more of a villain. You're more of a superhero guy.
I'd like to be the Silver Surfer. If I could play any character in the movies, I'd like to be the Silver Surfer.
You know who I would be? Lex Luthor. That's who I would be. I would be the evil genius.
You know, one of my favorite villains is the Kingpin. I love the Kingpin.
You remember the Kingpin? Yeah, from Spider-Man.
I love the Kingpin. Yeah, the Spider-Man, the Daredevil. I love the Kingpin.
Yeah, the Kingpin.
I got so mad. I got so mad when they took that Daredevil series off of Netflix. That was awesome, that Daredevil series.
Was it?
Yeah, I liked it. I got pissed off. They got rid of a lot of series.
Johnny Cage beats Batman and Superman the same night? Nah. Cage is fast, but yeah, nah. Batman's got too many ways to win.
Batman knows everyone's weaknesses. That's the problem.
That Batmobile is pretty sweet. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, guys. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week. Happy Father's Day, everybody.